Hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. So right now, we are going to go to the phones. You know, I've been saying on the show quite often that it's incumbent upon each one of us to get to know the candidates. Coming up here in just like, 3.5 weeks, we got the primary. And there is a hotly contested race, probably one of the more hotly contested races in this state at the federal level anyway, is for Congressional District 5. One of those candidates is Paul Sanford. Paul was the Alabama State Senator representing District 7. He and I served together in Montgomery. And he is now one of those on the ballot seen as the potential to take the seat that is currently being held by Mo Brooks. That's the same race that we have Casey Wardinsky, Dale Strong, and several others in. Paul Sanford is on the line right now. Paul, how you doing today, man?
Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, couldn't help but notice that you got an endorsement yesterday. Saw the story on Yellowhammer. I also got a copy of your press release. So I guess the bottom line is out the gate. Eagle Forum, which is one of the most conservative groups operating, you know, for conservative policy in Alabama, came out and said that you're their guy. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we're excited that Eagle Forum has decided to endorse our candidacy. I think my proven record in the Alabama Senate as a strong conservative fighting for, you know, Alabama family values and, you know, fiscally responsible lower tax principles, speaks volumes. I mean, they pretty much are the most conservative group in the state of Alabama, so I'm glad to be recognized that, you know, my service in the Senate acknowledges those beliefs.
Well, yeah, and so you got that endorsement. You also, being a former restaurateur yourself and a culinary school-trained chef, you got the endorsement of the Alabama Restaurant and Hospitality Association, which is, by the way, not a small group. So you have two major endorsements recently.
And that one probably means more to me, just because that is the industry that my family has been, you know, involved with for almost 100 years now, ever since my great-grandfather, Big Bob Gibson, first opened his restaurant many years ago. So to have your colleagues in your industry to say, hey, you're the real deal. You're the guy we need. You understand business. You understand input costs. You understand what inflation is doing to us. You understand what the government mandates have done to us. It really meant a lot to have that group to come out and stand side by side with me and say, this is the guy we need in Washington, D.C. So I think those two endorsements I'm really, really proud of. And I think it's just indicative of the record of service that I've had in our community and had in the Alabama Senate. And it's something that I hope to be able to continue in Washington, D.C.
Well, you're down to it, bro. And 3.5 weeks. But before I go too much further, though, I gotta jump into something you just said, because I don't think a lot of people in the listening area realize, with your last name being Sanford, that the Gibson family is your family. I mean, Gibson's Barbecue, we're talking right there on Memorial Parkway, right?
Yep. So my family has the Gibson's Barbecue here in Huntsville. It's been here since 1956. And then my great-grandfather in 1925 opened up the first Big Bob Gibson over in Morgan County. So my family's been serving North Alabama for 97 years. And it's important to know that, you know, it's an honor and a privilege to serve other people, especially when you're growing up in the restaurant industry. It's really humbling to take care of other people and to meet their needs on a daily basis. So I'm very proud of what my family's been able to accomplish over the last 97 years.
Yeah, man. And I'll tell you what, I've eaten a lot of Brunswick stew from Gibson's. That's one of my favorites. Listen, something reminded me, you know, you've been in politics. I mean, you were down in Montgomery. You were, you know, duking it out for conservative values. We had many caucus meetings, you know, where there was, you know, raised voices behind closed doors and then going out and do what we got to do on the floor of the Senate. But I think a lot of folks have forgotten, too, you are also involved in sort of helping clean up some things in state politics. And I had forgotten about the Jared Massey affair. But what was your role in that? Remind us of that. I mean, for those who don't know, Jared Massey was a lobbyist in the gambling industry who was convicted of bribery and went to jail. And how did your role play into that? Just remind us of that, please.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of unique, and you know, now it's kind of termed as, you know, fighting the swamp. So before we even called it the swamp, I was fighting kind of the culture of corruption in Montgomery, and it was during my first run for office for the state senate. I had won the primary and a runoff primary, and I was heading into the general. And about 2 weeks before that election was going to transpire, I got a phone call from a lobbyist that said, you know, hey, I need to know where you stand on this piece of legislation. I got a couple of clients that each want to send you $125,000 for a total of $250,000. And I was just like, hey, man, I don't think we're on the same side of this equation, but, you know, nice talking to you. And he was like, well, you know, don't worry. There's no quid pro quo involved with this. And immediately my red flag went up and said,
yeah,
nobody's ever used that phrase in a conversation with me in the past. And if you're having to mention that there's no quid pro quo, then chances are there's some quid pro quo. And I just kind of brushed it to the side as just an unusual conversation, but something that I needed to share with a few people. And then after I did, a couple of folks were like, you know, you might want to share that information with the Alabama Bureau of Investigation. That might be pertinent. And it turns out, you know, I gave them a call and said, hey, I've had somebody make what I think is an inappropriate, you know, offer in regards to, you know, my campaign. I'd like to tell you about it. And the guy literally said, where are you? I said, I'm in Huntsville. He said, where are you going to be in 3 hours? I said, right here. He said, we'll be there. Where do you want to meet? And wow. I actually met him at my family's restaurant, Gibson's.
Wow.
And told him the story. And then ended up having to go testify before a federal grand jury about the phone call, the conversation, and the offer. And that guy is now in federal prison.
Yeah, he and several others went on going down over that one, too, if I recall. That was, I think, wasn't Jennifer Pouncey involved in all that, too? Was that the same sweep up they had?
I think so. There was two or three I know got convicted on that one. And, you know, and then there's since been other legislators, Speaker of the House and whatnot, that have all, you know, something has happened to them and been to jail. So, I mean, there's clearly corruption in Montgomery. We know it's in Washington, D.C. It's just how do you identify it and how do you deal with it? And I think given my experience, and you know this, from being in Montgomery, there's just certain situations that you can get kind of a radar on because of the conversations you've had and the environment, the people we've been around. So I think to go to Washington, D.C., I'd be able to serve our community well, being in that kind of environment previously and showing a willingness to speak out and to do the right thing on behalf of the average voter. So.
Well, I appreciate that.
I believe that. I can carry on that tradition in Washington.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think it's necessary. I don't think people realize. I mean, everybody understands that bad things happen, and sometimes questionable things happen. But then other times, you just hope for God's sake that somebody out there is going to say, "How about no?" And how about we just not let that ever happen again? And so, I mean, I can remember, brother, when I ran the first time in 2010. You know, you're allowed to raise some money after the campaign is over for a period of time to pay off any campaign debt. I had a guy come to me and say, hey, which PAC do you like? And I say, I don't like PACs. And he said, well, I mean, but which we like to give our money through a PAC, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nod, nod. And I said, if you want to write a check to my campaign, it's called Williams for State Senate. Beyond that, I don't know what else to tell you. He didn't know what to do, so he just turned around and walked out of the room. You know, wasn't anything illegal about that conversation, but it just felt weird. And that stuff happens all the time. And that is swampy. But, all right, man, listen, you got what, three and a half weeks? How long you got to that primary?
Yeah, we're, you know, I think it's 4 weeks out at this point, from today.
Well, and so you're,
it's fast and furious. We're doing a lot of door knocking, phone calling, meeting people in their houses, and tremendous amount of momentum and excitement going with our campaign. I mean, we're fully powered by the people of the district, and I'm proud to be associated with it.
Well, All right, brother. Listen, we're going to keep track of you and some of the others that are down there just nugging it out for this race. This is to me, this is one of the horse races in this state. I mean, the governor's race, the U.S. Senate race, and this congressional race, to me, are the most competitive races going on right now across this state. So blessings on you, my friend, and let's stay in touch and see how things go, okay?
Hey, I appreciate it very much.
All right. All right, folks, that's Paul Sanford, former state senator. We served together down in Montgomery. He is responsible for people going to jail for trying to bribe officials. How about that? And then on top of that, too, recently endorsed by the Eagle Forum and the Alabama Restaurant and Hospitality Association. So, yeah, I mean, we got some good candidates in these good races. And I'm going to tell you right now, you folks out there, you voters, man, y'all got your work cut out for you, but this is why we do what we do. This is why I have them on to talk about themselves so you can get a feel for what kind of things they say and do. So, all right, Copper, go ahead and move us to the break. We'll take a break right now. Come right back. Moving to number two in the Triple Dipper, Turnabout's Fair Play. I agree. This is where we get down to what is going to happen with Twitter being bought by Elon Musk. And I'd love to hear from y'all. What do you think about this? Call in 866-494-9866. Turnabout's fair play in Twitter world. That's what I say. All right. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.